There's that story, right? That as a kid, even as a memory, it just makes your hair stand up on the back of your neck.
This is Jay from Jack's Beach. When I was 10 years old, I woke up one night and saw smoke billowing along the ceiling of my room. I then ran downstairs and told my mom the house is on fire. She ran to look and didn't see anything. And 2 weeks later, a fire started in my house and it started in the attic, which was connected to my room.
Ooh, that's a worthy story for this day of jack-o'-lanterns and little kid goblins.
My name is Julianne Targan. I'm calling from California, New Jersey. When I was 9 years old, I went out trick-or-treating with my friends. All of a sudden, as we were walking along the sidewalk, something was underneath the dried leaves, something black and furry and weird, like scuttling across the sidewalk underneath the dried leaves, straight for me, following me as I backed up. And I ran away. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was my imagination, probably. But it was so creepy that even now it gives me goosebumps.
We've got a real expert on goosebumps, writer R.L. Stein, who told us a fine ghost story yesterday on the program. Stein is the author of several scary series for children, including Goosebumps, Fear Street, and the Nightmare Room series, books for those days when the shadows are monsters and when we expect to hear things that go bump in the night.
Childhood is a very scary time. It's hard being a child. I was a very fearful child, and it was not a good way to grow up. It helped me later on, because when I started writing these scary books, I could remember that feeling of panic. But I had all kinds of fears. I grew up in Columbus, Ohio, and I used to ride my bike around the neighborhood, and I always thought that someone was lurking in the garage, that something was waiting for me in the garage. And I would take my bike and I would throw it into the garage every night, throw it into the garage and then run into the house. Just this, you know, irrational fear.
I had a bunch of those. I remember when balloons, you know, you'd have them at a birthday party or something. And then
sure.
Like a couple of days later, they'd lose a little of their air and they'd get a little wrinkly.
Mm-hmm.
They used to scare the devil out of me.
You're starting to worry me.
See, I just thought there was something wrong
there.
That
one I never heard of.
See, I don't know.
Never heard of balloons.
The trees at night that would sometimes, the branches would touch the house and scratch against the house. Terrified of those.
Yeah,
those are obviously monsters.
Good horror movie stuff.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's real. The balloon thing kind of scares you. What about clowns?
I don't understand it at all. I actually have some friends who were clowns at the Big Apple Circus. They're the nicest people in the world. They're wonderful. Why are people scared of clowns? I don't get it.
Maybe it's the clown dolls. I was scared of...
Why are people scared of dolls?
I was scared of dolls.
I have this character, Slappy, who's an evil ventriloquist dummy. When you say these seven words, he comes to life and then tries to enslave you. And he's a very rude character. I like writing him, because he insults everyone, and that's fun to write. And I've written many books about this character. It's my most popular villain. I have no idea why people think that's scary.
I think it's the idea of it's a dummy, and then all of a sudden the eyes open up, and I just get goosebumps even thinking about that.
I'm weird. I write this stuff, but I don't get scared from books or movies. People always say, oh, your book gave me nightmares. I'm terrified now. I don't know what that feeling is. Maybe it's something missing in me. I'm the one, when you go to a horror movie, I'm the one who's laughing.
That's great. It's like a Charles Adams New Yorker cartoon
yes.
or something.
Yeah,
you're the one smiling.
I guess.
Do you think scary stories allow kids to have power over a larger sense of fear in the world?
Yeah, I think it's a part of it. It's a real sense of mastery. When kids read Goosebumps books, they're going out, they're having these really scary adventures. They're facing all these incredible monsters. They know they're safe in their room while they're doing it, and they all have happy endings. And the kids all work that out by themselves. Their parents never help. Parents are useless in Goosebumps. They never believe the kids. And the kids have this adventure and solve it, and everything works out okay. And I think that's a big part of it. I think it's reassuring.
You know, I have five kids, and my littlest, he doesn't want any part of fear. But my 12-year-old boy, who's his older brother, just this year it's Justin Bieber Zombie. is his costume, and he is so into the blood.
Yeah, zombies.
He loves the zombies.
I don't understand zombies either, do you?
No.
As a writer, I hate zombies because there's not much you can do with them. They're so unsophisticated. They stagger around. They eat people's brains. And you have to hit them in the head with a frying pan or shoot them. And that's it. There's nothing else you can do with zombies. I don't really understand why the appeal.
Did you like Halloween when you were little?
I did. Because partly we were very poor, my family. And we lived in a poor neighborhood with tiny little houses really close together. We lived three doors from the railroad tracks, literally, and there was all these tiny houses, which meant you could hit 100 houses on Halloween. You didn't have to go up any long driveways. You could go blocks, and you'd have, you know, bags full of candy. And we actually, the governor of Ohio, the governor's mansion, was three blocks from our house. And we used to go trick-or-treat at the governor's mansion every year, and they gave out apples.
Oh, that is so nasty.
Oh, it was the worst. Used to just take the apples and throw them down the driveway. It was infuriating. Apples.
I mean, he probably wasn't more than one term, huh?
I don't remember.
Yeah. When you become an adult and you find real things to fear, how do you think stories like yours help adults when they grow up think about fear?
I don't know. I don't know if they do.
So we lose it all? We lose all of our innocence?
I think so. Everyone likes a good, scary story if they know they're safe at the same time.
And that's sort of the definition of reading. You're in a safe place, but you're reading a scary story.
Yeah, that's true.
Would you ever write comedy?
Well, I did for years. I only wanted to be funny. I never planned to be scary. I wrote about 100 joke books for kids, 101 monster jokes, 101 dog jokes, 101 school cafeteria jokes. I was the editor of a humor magazine for 10 years called Bananas. I was Jovial Bob Stein. Forget the RL. I was Jovial Bob.
And that's when things took off.
Well, I wrote my first scary novel, which actually wasn't even my idea. This is embarrassing. An editor asked me, she said, "I'll bet you could write a good scary novel. Go home and write a book for teenagers called Blind Date." She even gave me the title. Wasn't my idea. And I wrote this book, for the scary novel for teenagers. It was a number one bestseller. And I thought, forget the funny stuff. Forget that. And I've been scary ever since.
All right. There are really 101 cafeteria jokes, school cafeteria jokes?
Well, yeah, there were in these books.
Yeah.
There were.
Can you remember one of them?
School cafeteria? No. Here's the best joke I ever wrote for kids.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
It was from a dog joke book.
Okay.
This is my best joke.
All right.
All right. What do you get when you cross a dog with a frog?
You got me.
You get a dog that can lick himself from across the room.
That's scary.
That's my best joke.
That is scary.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah.
R.L. Stein, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you. This is great.
Writer R.L. Stein, happy Halloween, everyone. Good luck to My Little Iron Man, my black cat, my bunny, Candy Corn Girl, and, of course, Zombie Justin Bieber. Hope all your trick-or-treating is successful. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.